Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Peter Stone, a special correspondent, for McClatchy DC Bureau, who since 1990 has covered a wide array of lobbying, legal, and campaign finance issues in Washington. He began his career at the California-based magazine Ramparts, and he's the author of Casino Jack and the United States of Money, Super Lobbyist Jack Abramoff and the Buying of Washington. And he has an article at McClatchy with Greg Gordon. Mueller has evidence Cohen was in Prague in 2016, confirming part of dossier. Welcome to Background Briefing, Peter Stone.
Thank you very much, Ian.
Well, Peter, you have really thrown a cat amongst the pigeons with this story that you've broken about Cohen being in Prague, which he has vociferously denied. It's key to the Mueller inquiry in the sense that it was a part of the Steele dossier, an important part. And we can talk about the details outlined in the Steele dossier, which, if verified, would be devastating. But Donald Trump is already tweeting out this morning a furious fusillade of tweets. Attorney-client privilege is now a thing of the past. I have too many lawyers, and they are probably wondering when their offices, even their homes, are going to be raided with everything, including their phones and computers, taken. All lawyers are deflated and concerned. Well, apparently on Friday, Cohen's lawyer before the judge made such a poor case trying to say that the judge wanted to know whether Cohen's a lawyer or a fixer. If he's a fixer, then attorney-client privilege is irrelevant. And, of course, Cohen's lawyer was trying to get all the evidence back that was seized by the FBI. The judge was so frustrated, she demanded that Cohen show up at 2 o'clock on Monday in her court to basically answer the basic question, are you a lawyer or are you a fixer? It's looking more and more like he's a fixer, isn't it?
Well, we're not reporting on that per se, but
no.
You know, he has a reputation of being the guy who Trump turned to for both business and personal crises. And that includes what we now know about the hush money that went to Stormy Daniels and the payment that went to the other woman, Karen McDougal, which he had a role in negotiating, apparently, or a role in arranging vis-a-vis the National Enquirer. You know, a lot of what he's done over the years has been to take on legal problems for Trump where he's been in messes. The ones with the women are right front and center now. And he's also been somebody who's gone on the tube and been a sort of tough, aggressive defender of the president. Sometimes he's been known as the pit bull also. I think he may have even been referred to, I'm sure, in stories as a pit bull for Trump. And that was part of what he was doing in the 2016 campaign, when he did not have an official role on the campaign, but did some media and was notable for, you know, sort of taking off the gloves in television appearances and being very aggressive, basically. So I think what came out in terms of the court documents, or what has been reported in the last few days, is that he apparently had very few real legal clients and did minimal amounts of legal work. But that's a lot to be discovered on that. We don't know all of that by any means yet. And that's, again, not what our story was really focused on. So
Sure. Well, I was just trying to start with a broader context of who this man is and what his role is,
right,
vis-a-vis Trump. But the point about your story, it's thrown a light on the very heart of the Mueller inquiry, where Trump has repeatedly said that there is no evidence of collusion. And the Steele dossier says that Cohen met in Prague with Konstantin Kosachev, who's an ally of Vladimir Putin's. He's chairs the Foreign Affairs Committee of the Duma. And the meeting, according to the Steele dossier, was essentially with a bunch of hackers. It looks as if the deal was to pay the hackers. They already had hacked the DNC, I think, at that point, and perhaps even Hillary Clinton's campaign manager. And key to Mueller's inquiry is to make the link between the hacking and how it ended up on WikiLeaks. So this is huge. So tell us what you can about what you know about...
Well, what we reported, and I think it's important that we not overstate it at this stage, what we reported is that the special counsel has evidence now that Cohn did make a secret trip to Prague in late summer, as the sealed dossier first alleged. We don't have the precise dates, but the sealed dossier indicated it was late August, early September, and that seems to be the time frame that our sources who told us about this information believe is correct.
2016,
correct. Right after Manafort, or around the time Manafort resigned from the campaign because of growing press revelations that he had ties to a pro-Russian government in Ukraine, that had worked for a pro-Russian government, had lobbied for a pro-Russian government, and had gotten enormous payments from a government. A lot of the Manafort stuff was known and had been reported on, but there were some new disclosures in early August that really rattled the campaign and forced them to do a kind of, overhaul there. And Manafort resigned, or was pushed out, or a combination of the two. That was on August 19th. This meeting appears to have happened right in that time frame, a little after or early September. And, our sources have confirmed that the Justice Department now has evidence that he did go into the Czech Republic, which was a big stumbling block in confirming this, because there was no evidence of that previously, but they've ascertained they entered through Germany, and would not have needed at that point, if he came in through Germany, if he transited through Germany, because of a zone where you're allowed to travel freely without getting your passport stamped in Europe, that would allow him to enter the Czech Republic without showing a Czech stamp on his passport. And so that's what we know now. We do not have confirmed yet, absolutely do not have confirmed that he did meet with the Russians, but what we did learn certainly gives a lot of credence to that part of the dossier, because Cohn has vigorously denied for months since the dossier came out that he was ever in Prague. That's been a mantra of Cohn's now for over a year. And he's had different pieces of, he's provided a couple of pieces of information to rebut those critics, to rebut those reports. He has said he was in L.A. with his son, being the principal one. But the amount of time he spent in L.A., according to what he's talked about publicly, does not undercut or does not obviate the very real time period here we're talking about, of 3 or 4 weeks, when this trip, appears to have taken place. His presence in L.A. was limited, in other words. So he hasn't really fully rebutted that. People in Congress who heard his testimony on the House and Senate Intelligence Committee were told have more questions. They think they need more documents to verify his testimony, his denials that he was in Prague. The skepticism in Congress about this as well. And we report on that very briefly in this story, too. So I think Mueller's going to, this is going to give an impetus to, if this can be fully fleshed out and proved, it would be a pretty stark example of collusion if it can be fully fleshed out and proved.
And again, I'm speaking with Peter Stone, who's a special correspondent, former McClatchy DC Bureau, who since 1990 has covered a wide array of lobbying, legal, and campaign finance issues in Washington. He began his career at the California-based magazine Ramparts, and he is the author of Casino Jack and the United States of Money, Super Lobbyist Jack Abramoff and the Buying of Washington. And he has an article at McClatchy with Greg Gordon. Mueller has evidence Cohen was in Prague in 2016, confirming part of dossier. And, of course, the dossier alleges that Cohen and the Russians, including the senior figure close to Putin, head of the Duma Foreign Affairs Committee, and these Eastern European hackers, I believe they were Romanian, met at this Russian government-backed social and cultural club in Prague, and that they were, according to the Steele dossier, they were concerned about making deniable cash payments, and that there was some concern on the part of the Russians about their links being exposed, and that, of course, involved a Russian Kalugin. I think he was basically here in Washington as one of their top spies, and he was recalled from the Russian embassy in Washington last August.
August 2016, right. Almost the same time. You mean August 2016. Yeah, that was another embarrassing or potentially explosive incident that occurred at that time, which the dossier talked about, and we confirmed a good bit of that part, actually.
Mm.
So there are, you know, obviously more things to learn about. We don't know anything. We don't know where the hackers were from. Steele reported Eastern Europe. We don't have the exact names or number. And, you know, he outlined some topics that his sources told him were part of the discussion. But there's more that needs to be nailed down on that, absolutely.
Well, I would think, though, that the reporting that you and Greg Gordon have done in your article, Mueller has evidence Cohen was in Prague in 2016, confirming part of dossier, would indicate that Mueller has an awful lot more than what you were able to find out.
Presumably, he's working aggressively on this, yes. And this is a, you know, if he can nail this down, this would be a major revelation.
Well, the fact of the matter is that Cohen, he wanted to have a bigger role, did he not, in the campaign than just Trump's fixer. And he was sort of pushed out by others. But he did try and set up a peace plan with Russia and the U.S. over Ukraine, essentially to forgive the Russians for their annexation of Crimea and invasion of Ukraine. This peace plan was the brainchild of a Ukrainian legislator, pro-Russian Andriy Artemenko. So he was working actively. He was also working with Felix Sater, the mobbed-up guy that worked in the Trump Organization, who did a little PR blitz recently. They were trying to build Trump Tower in Moscow, were they not? So he was pretty active in that summer during the campaign, was he not? And he made at least three trips to Europe that we know of.
Right, right. Well, those other pieces you just mentioned are of interest, I believe, to Mueller. His role in the peace plan, which was a very short-lived effort that was floated right around the time of Trump's inaugural. Cohen did have a meeting in New York with his legislator, the Ukrainian legislator, who apparently was the point man for this peace plan. It was a rather pro-Russian tilt to the plan. Nobody took it very seriously, but Cohen did have a meeting with Artemenko, and Sater was part of that meeting. And Cohen provided rather contradictory accounts of what he did almost immediately when it was first reported. He told the New York Times, that broke this story, that he actually delivered the plan, put it on the desk of then National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. This was weeks before Flynn, you know, was ousted. He first claimed that to the New York Times, and then when other papers tried to follow up on the story, within days, Cohen switched the story and said, no, I never delivered it to the White House, undercutting his credibility on this, I would say, as well. So Sater and he, who had known each other for years, did have a role in that plan, which didn't go very far. They also were working together months prior to that during the campaign in terms of trying to float a project to build a Trump Tower in Moscow. And this was in late 2015. There were discussions about this, and it also never got off the ground, but there was talk within the Trump Organization. Trump himself signed a letter of intent to do something with this, to try and make it go forward. The whole financing and arrangements for it are very, what we know about it, are very skimpy at this stage. So that, Coney said, the idea died a few months later, early 2016.
And again, I'm speaking with Peter Stone, who's a special correspondent, former McClatchy DC Bureau, who since 1990 has covered a wide array of lobbying, legal, and campaign finance issues in Washington. He began his career at the California-based magazine Ramparts, and he is the author of Casino Jack and the United States of Money, Super Lobbyist Jack Abramoff and the Buying of Washington. And he has an article at McClatchy with Greg Gordon. Mueller has evidence Cohen was in Prague in 2016, confirming part of dossier. So just in closing, Peter Stone, presumably this extraordinary amount of information that's both tapes, hard drives, laptops, phones, files, emails, they've got up to 30 years of stuff, apparently, the FBI raid. They really was a very thorough raid, apparently. Do you think it's possible that it, within all of that material, there'll be some evidence that will buttress what you're reporting?
It's possible that there will be some evidence related to the areas that Mueller is focused on. We should emphasize that the raid was done by the Southern District of New York. Mueller turned this matter over to them, prosecutors in New York, to handle this because the focus of the raid was primarily on non-Russia-related matters, looking into Cohen's role in his business, Cohen's role in the payment to Stormy Daniels, and some of his business dealings. He had a taxi cab company for many years that's under scrutiny. So that was the focus of it, but it's quite possible there will be other evidence there. And if there is evidence there, legal experts, ex-prosecutors say that, you know, there's a high, good chance that this could be then turned over to Mueller. There'd be no reason or a good possibility that Mueller would get his hands on evidence that relates to the Russia issues that were the focus of his probe, collusion in the campaign and Russian meddling in 2016.
Well, it is an extraordinary coincidence, just in closing, that Michael Cohen is married to a Ukrainian. So, of course, is Paul Manafort. Of course, Manafort's partner in the Ukraine turned out to be a GRU, Russian military intelligence officer, his right-hand man. The ties, both familial and political and financial, are pretty evident, are they not?
Well, there are a variety of ties. I mean, Manafort's are certainly different than the Cohen's ties. Manafort spent almost a decade there on and off working for pro-Russian political party government and pro-Russian oligarchs. So it's a different situation. But, you know, Cohen does have some connections, obviously, to the Ukraine. And, you know, his business is under scrutiny. You know, it's old business, the taxi cab business. And you know, I think there's a lot more to come out on several fronts.
Well, Peter Stone, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
I do. And again, I've been speaking with Peter Stone, who's a special correspondent for McClatchy DC Bureau, who since 1990 has covered a wide array of lobbying, legal, and campaign finance issues in Washington. He began his career at the California-based magazine Ramparts and is the author of Casino Jack and the United States of Money, Super Lobbyist Jack Abramoff and the Buying of Washington. And he has an article at McClatchy with Greg Gordon. Mueller has evidence Cohen was in Prague in 2016, confirming part of dossier. We're going to take a brief station break. We'll be back on this tax day looking into how we are the most undertaxed of the advanced nations.